Now, he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out the way before him to Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as he appeared before him, he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a long time. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, that you are still alive." Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh, and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household, who were in the land of Canaan, have come to me. The men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have.' When Pharaoh calls you and says, 'What's your occupation?' you shall say, 'Your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth, even until now, both we and our fathers, that you may live in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is loathsome to the Egyptians.'" Then Joseph went in and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds and all that they have come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." He took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers." They said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants live in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is at your disposal. Settle that your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them live in the land of Goshen. And if you know any capable men among them, put them in charge of my livestock." Then Joseph brought his father Jacob and presented him to Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many years have you lived?" So Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant they have been, the years of my life, nor have they attained to the years that my fathers lived during the days of their sojourning." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had ordered. Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to their little ones.
Thank you, Connie. The Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we ask you to quiet our hearts before your word this morning, and that you would again open our hearts to hear and to receive from you. As we look into your word, Lord, and as we continue looking at the life of Joseph, we thank you for this man of faith who lived and served you so well. And Lord, as an example for us of how to be faithful in our generation too. So Lord, we thank you that you continue to speak to us. We thank you for your word. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If I would ask you, how do you define success? What would you say? Some people, to success is having a lot of money. Some people, success is having a powerful position or important position or position of great importance. Some people, success is a lot of things. And when you think of people today who you would consider to be successful, who comes to your mind? Maybe the goat. How many would think of the goat as success? Connie says no. She's not thinking of the goat. The greatest of all time, Tom Brady. Or maybe the greatest boxer of all time, Muhammad Ali. And we think of people and we think of who is success. And a lot of people come to our mind, and often we call them a success because of what they did, because of the things they accomplished. And we could truly say that Joseph was a success, was he not? He was a man who gone from being sold as his brothers into a slavery, yet in the midst of that, he maintained his integrity. Through the midst of that, he was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison, unjustly imprisoned for 3 years, forgotten and passed over, and everything seemed to be going against him, but yet he maintained his integrity. God then exalted him into the place of Pharaoh's court. And as you know the story, and as he gave those dreams, and he was exalted and now put into the leadership of Egypt, managing Egypt through the times of the famine. And we truly could look at Joseph's life and say, that man was truly a success. But what was it about Joseph that made him successful? What is it that we can use to define success in our life? Because it's not having the most. There's a saying that he who dies with the most toys wins. That's not success. Success is not possessed in what we have or even in what we do. This morning we want to talk about how we can truly be being a success. Because, dear friends, success is not found in what we do or what we have. It's in who we are and in being the kind of person that God calls us to be. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. True success comes from being, not by doing. Joseph was a man who was blessed and was successful with God because of who he was and because of his character. This morning, as we come into the chapter before us, we see that the family is now reunited. Joseph and Jacob had arrived down in Egypt after hearing the news that Joseph was alive and well, and it now had come with all the carts, and we'd seen as they picked up that move, and they're now over there. Joseph and Jacob embrace, and imagine after 22 years of being apart, and Jacob thinking that his beloved son Joseph was dead. And now after 22 years, they come together and they are reunited and they embrace. And the families join together again. What a reunion that was. But now Joseph begins to prepare his brothers to meet Pharaoh. And this chapter we're going to look at comes into three main events that we want to discuss this morning. And one is Joseph preparing his brothers to meet Pharaoh and to settle them in the land of Goshen, the best part of the land, and them settled there in the time of the famine. Another part of this chapter is Joseph preparing his brothers and Joseph ministering to the Egyptians during the time of the famine, and Jacob blessing the Pharaoh, and then Jacob preparing and giving his final instructions to Joseph before he dies, giving him his final will and his wishes before he goes to meet the Lord. In these three particular events in this chapter together, we're going to discover three ways to truly be successful in God's sight and who we are before him. First principle we discover, you truly want to be a success in God's eyes. What matters is to be distinct. To be distinct, to be different from the world around us. And you say, well, Dan, where are you getting that? Well, Joseph, whenever he brought his brothers in, settled them in the land of Goshen, separate and distinct from the rest of the people in Egypt. Saw that they would be settled and not settle into Egypt in the main part of the land, but be over their own people, distinct as their own nation, set apart as God's people to be. And God calls us as well to be distinct in our lifestyle. Because we are called to live separate from the Egyptians. And who are the Egyptians? Well, that's the unbelieving world around us. We're called to live in a different way than they are. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not to interact with unbelievers, does it? No, we have to interact with those who are in the world and to befriend them and interact with them. It doesn't mean that we're not to be, not associate. But what it does mean is we're not to adopt their worldview. We're not to adopt their values. We're not to adopt their culture. And Joseph didn't want his people to become like the Egyptians. So he went to Pharaoh with the plan and said, you tell Pharaoh what your occupation is. He's going to ask you what you do. And you say you're shepherds. And Joseph, why did he tell that? Because he understood Egyptian culture. And he knew that the shepherds were detested by the Egyptians. So he knew if he told Pharaoh they're shepherds, Pharaoh's going to say, we don't want those people living with us. And going to give them the best part of the land where they could live separately, where they could be distinct, where they could be and not be adopted and be overcome by the culture, the Egyptian culture around them. Now, Joseph was strong enough to do that. Joseph was strong enough to live in Egypt and not be overcome, but he was afraid maybe his brothers were not. So being distinct, calling to live different, not different by the way we dress, but different by the way we live. We are called turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And this is what Peter said to the church. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he says this, beginning in verse 9, Peter writing about us, said, but you and me, us, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So dear friends, I urge you, as strangers and aliens in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live as such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Don't let the world push us, conform us into its mold, but instead, we are to be conformed to the image of God. So in our lifestyle, God calls us to live differently, to live different than the culture, than the world around us, not to embrace it, but to show that we love Jesus, that we live by higher values. We live by the values of the Word of God, which may call us to see things differently, which may call us to act differently than the world around us. But in our lifestyle, to be distinct, but also in our love, to be distinct. In verse 34 of chapter 36, whenever Pharaoh, he says to Pharaoh, you say to him, when Joseph says, what do you do? And he said, our occupation is we are shepherds from childhood on. And Joseph makes the statement, shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. The shepherds, they did not like them. They were considered the lowest. I guess the Egyptians were too high up, too educated for that. So in our love, because love for the shepherd is detestable to the Egyptians. And our shepherd is the Lord. And we are called to follow our great shepherd, who is the shepherd of the sheep, who is the shepherd of our life. And so don't be surprised. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13 says, don't be surprised, my brother, if the world hates you. And you say, well, why is love for the shepherd, when we love the shepherd, why is that detestable to the Egyptians, to the world around us? Because our love for the shepherd stands out as a contrast. When people, unbelieving world, sees Jesus in you, and your love for the shepherd, that stands out. And that's a contrast to a world around us that doesn't love Jesus. And when the light of Christ is shining brightly out of your life, that is a big contrast around us to a dark world, is it not? And because of that, the world doesn't like it. The world responds because that contrast is so bright when they see Jesus lived out in you and in me. And your love for the shepherd being seen. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, John, writing about that, says this. As soon as I get there, in 1 John 2, he says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. For anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, and does not come from the Father, but from the world. And the world with its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of the Father lives forever." And our love for the shepherd brings a sense of conviction. That's another reason, because people are convicted when they see Jesus lived out in us. Jesus told his disciples that, if you go to John chapter 15, and Jesus reminded us of this very truth, that our life is different and we're called to be different. And don't be surprised, he said in verse 18, of chapter 15, Jesus says this, quoting from John, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also." He said, "They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. And he who hates me hates my Father as well." Jesus says the reason why the world doesn't like us and hates us for Jesus is because they're convicted of the sin, and the darkness is brought to light. And so in our love for Christ, we can expect we're to be different from a world around us that does not love Jesus. And our love for the shepherd is detestable to a world that does not know him. But yet we're called to live for him. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14, you can write that verse down. Jesus there talks about, the scripture talks about the contrast between the darkness and the light. And we're to live our life so that the light of Christ can be seen and exposed to the deeds of darkness around us in a world that so desperately needs to see him. So be distinct. We learn that from Joseph preparing his family and telling them to live separately on Goshen. Don't intermingle. Don't settle into the culture of Egypt. Don't adapt it around it, but be distinct. Be a holy nation, being peculiar people in the Lord, in the way we live, and are following the scriptural truths of the Lord. But second, if we truly want to be a success in Christ's eyes, be a blessing. Not only be distinct, but be a blessing. Chapter 47, verses 7 through 27, this part of the chapter focuses on two things. First, Joseph takes his father, Jacob, before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, "How old are you?" And he says, "I'm 133 years old." But he said, "My life isn't near as old as my pilgrimage, isn't near as long as my father's before me." But it says that Joseph pronounced a blessing on Pharaoh. And he blessed him by what he said. And God has blessed us, you and I, he's given us blessings to make us a blessing to others. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God said to Abraham when he gave the covenant, "I will bless you so that you will be a blessing." And we see that through Israel, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And we see that being illustrated here in Joseph and Jacob giving a blessing to the Pharaoh. And by what he said and by pronouncing a word of blessing. And as you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, a world around us, God wants us to speak words of blessing to those around us that need him. To see his love in us and to speak blessing and encouragement to brothers and sisters in Christ and to each other. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says that our words should be beneficial to help others in need, so they'd be lifted up and encouraged by what we say. So is your life, by what you say, a blessing to those around you? Are they encouraged by the words that you share? Or do your words lift up or do they tear down? We're called to be a blessing and to be truly successful in God, in His eyes. Be that blessing by speaking words of encouragement and blessing to over people. Speak the name of Jesus and His love over people that so desperately need to hear that. And let the blessings of God flow through you by what you say. But also not only by our words, but through our actions as well, we're to be a blessing. And this next part of the chapter is a little strange. And it talks about Joseph and how he used his gifts in verses 13 to 27 of chapter 47, how he used his gift of administration to care for the Egyptians and get them through the famine. While God's people, the Israelites, were in the land of Goshen, Joseph provided for them plenty. He provided for them everything they needed. But the Egyptians were running out of what money? They ran out of food. They ran out of everything, and there was no food for them. And they came to Joseph, and they said, "We need help." So the chapter said what Joseph did. He said, first he gave them, he had them buy their food. And when they ran out of money, he said, "Okay, well then, sell me your land. And if you sell me your land, I'll give you some food." And then put them into servanthood. And they worked for their food and they worked for the land. But they were grateful. And he got them through. And he used his gift of administration to help them survive the famine. And they came to him and said, "We are grateful you helped us survive." And we look at them and say, well, why Joseph here taking their land for the king, putting these taxes on them and supporting them in servanthood, why is that commended? Well, he used his gift of administration. I was visiting Arlene this week, and Arlene was telling me in her family when growing up, they had what they called farming on the half. And farming on the half was the landowner owned part of the property, and the farmer was able to farm the land and get part of the crops for himself, and part went to the landowner. And that's basically what Joseph was doing here. But he was using his gift of administration to help the people through the hard times. And God has given you and I different gifts to use in service. So we're not going to be a blessing by what we say, but we need to be a blessing by what we do. And taking those gifts that God has given you and I and putting them into practice to truly meet the needs of others. And look what the scripture says in 1 John. And then we're going to go to James, but look at what the scripture says here. Because we need to put those words into practice and put our life into practice. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We know John 3:16, but this is 1 John 3:16. Says, this is how we know that God showed his love, what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, and we ought also to love our brothers. But he says in verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but what's it say? But with what? Actions and truth. So, the word of God calls us not only to be a blessing by what we say, but by our actions, by what we do, by putting our words into feet and into hands and using the gifts God's given us to truly bless others. James says, in James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17, James says, suppose someone comes to you and is hungry and you say, God bless you. Be on your way and go home, and you don't do anything to help feed their need. James says you really haven't helped them. He said, faith without works is meaningless. So putting action to our blessing of our words, we're called to be both people of faith in what we say, but people of action of how we live our life. And that's both. And being a blessing by what we do, but what we say, we see that illustrated here in the life of Joseph as he used God's gift of administration to care for those, to get them through the famine, to help them through the hard times. And the third, be distinct, be a blessing, and third, be focused. If we truly want to be a success in God's eyes, be focused. It takes us down to the last part of chapter 47. As Joseph
brought his father and family there. Jacob had settled into the land of Goshen, and 17 years of time had passed. They embraced each other, and Jacob said, I'm ready to die now. I've seen Joseph. I'm ready to die. But it wasn't going to be till 17 more years of time had passed till eventually the Lord was going to take him home. So 17 years later, he calls Joseph to his side. In verse 28 of chapter 47, and his years had passed. He was now 147. And when the time came near for Israel or Jacob to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and make a promise that you show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. But when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. Joseph said, I will do as you say. Swear to me, he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. This final portion here of this chapter, we're learning how to be truly successful, is to be focused. What does that mean? To be focused on our priority of our present calling. Jacob reminded Joseph, he said, I don't want to sojourn here in Egypt. This isn't my place. I don't want to settle in here permanently. I'm only here temporarily. I don't want to linger in Egypt. Don't leave me here. I don't want to settle into this world. I have a higher priority, and my priority is the things of the Lord, and I don't want to get a love for Egypt. I don't want to dwell here. My desire is to dwell in the land of promise. And I don't want to settle here and get my roots down too long in Egypt. Because he knew what would happen. And last week we talked about how Israel had a hard time getting out of Egypt. They bore that. They kept wanting to return back because they put their roots down too deep. And he's reminding us our priorities is not to settle into this world, because we have a far better place we're going, right? Our residence is in heaven. And not to settle in or get too comfortable here, because our priority is a greater one. And our longing is there. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we read about Moses, who it says, and he did not give, when he got of age, of 40 years of age, turned his back on Egypt. And he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. His eye was on the priority of the kingdom. And he said, I don't want to settle here in Egypt. This isn't where God's called me to be. The priority of our present calling is to live for him, not live for this world. And the promise of our future home. He said, when I die, don't bury me here in Egypt, but let me rest with my fathers in the land of Canaan. That's the land that was promised me. My eye is focused on the Holy Land, on the promised home, the promise of my future home. Because friends, this world is not our home. We're only passing through here. We're pilgrims here. And we have a far greater place waiting for us. And focus on the promise of our future home. And when we focus on the promise of our future home, it helps us keep our right priorities here. It helps us get through the hard times that may come our way, because we know we're going there. We're dwelling there. That's where our real home is. This is just temporary. And Jacob reminded Joseph of that. This is temporary here in Egypt. My home is the promised land. Yours as well, if you know Jesus, and we do. Hebrews chapter 11, again, in the Hall of Fame of Faithful, it says this, beginning in verse 13. It says, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. And people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been looking for a country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And Jacob reminded his son Joseph, my home is not in Egypt. My home is in the land that's been promised to me. And don't bury me here. Bury me there, because that's where my home is. And keeping focused, dear friends, on our home and in the priority of our calling is truly helps us to be live a successful in God's eyes. To truly be a success, be distinct, different from the world around us in our love, in our lifestyle. Be a blessing by what we say and by what we do. And be focused on the priority of our calling and on the promise of our eternal home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you should teach us in your word and how to truly be successful in your eyes. It's not by what we own. It's not by what we accomplish in life. It's not by a position we have or influence we may have over others. But it's in who we are. It's in our character. It's in being like Jesus and being different from the world around us and not being pressed into its mold, but instead becoming like you, being conformed into your likeness, into your glory. And in the way we live, Lord, that a contrast would be seen in our life from the world around us because of our love for the shepherd. People may detest that. They may not like it because it convicts them, but it also shows the contrast between the love for the shepherd and over the love for the world. And so, Lord, give us a heart that desires to be that peculiar people set apart to you, living according to your way and not embracing the ways of the world. Lord, help us to be a blessing to those around us that you bring into our life by what we say, by the words that we speak, but also by the actions, by the gifts you've given us and the abilities to be able to use those to bless the lives of others. And Lord, help us to keep the proper focus, to be focused on our priority, our real priorities in life, not to settle into this world, not to settle into Egypt. Our home is not really here. But to have that heavenly mindset, Lord, of the promise that awaits us, of the eternal home that you are providing, our citizenship is in heaven, a home that you are preparing that will be for all eternity. And to be focused on that because that helps us to run the race well. That helps keeps us from being distracted so that we may live for you in a way that pleases you, to truly be successful in your eyes. So thank you, Lord, for Joseph and his example, that from him we can learn so much on how you want us to live today. And make us the men and women of God after your own heart, men and women of God who are truly successful in your eyes because of who we are, not because of what we do, but because of we want to be like you and be more like your son. So we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, in whom we pray. Amen.